Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the body of Christ Church. And welcome to Repentance is the Key. Is the Key.
Demand of the blood in the church hall. Don't forget about my friends in the dance hall. Joy and love me have a great peace of mind. And not this me want me dance hall friend them to find. Go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Till Christ and me friend them fine. Teach ya go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Until the devil get thee behind me. Fast and pray, go fast and pray. Till Christ and me friend them fine. Teach ya go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Get thee behind. Awesome. Go up along, great mighty Father. See a project and bless.
No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be. You always be the girl.
All right. I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Repentance is the Key. And I'm your host, Brother Abadi. And I also have on the line with me the brother Dawiyad. Dawiyad, say shalom to the people.
Shalom, brothers and sisters out there. And the Most High Christ bless everyone.
All right, good. Well, this show is titled In Honor of Thy Mother. And what we're really going into is, you know, in the scriptures, is to look at the scriptures and see what it says about how to honor our parents. Last year in 2010, a survey released by the National Retail Federation showed that Mother's Day was the second largest U.S. consumer spending holiday. Mind you, this is behind some of the winter holidays like Christmas, Kwanzaa, and things of that nature. So, although it has taken root, many Christians have embraced Mother's Day as a time to show love and appreciation. Billions, that's right, B with a billions with a B. Billions of dollars will be spent on gifts, flowers, and edibles by many in honor of mothers worldwide. But what does the Bible say about honoring our mothers? Is Mother's Day a vain tradition of man? And why and how were mothers honored according to the Bible? We're going to hopefully be able to get some edification out of the scriptures to answer these questions. So I like to start off first by going to one of the Ten Commandments. And this is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. We're going to jump right into it. And let's see what the Lord said about honoring our mother. So, Dawiyad, if you got that, brother, go ahead and read that for me, please.
All right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and it reads, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee."
Right. So, the Bible says, this is one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, Heavenly Father is giving us the instructions to honor or listen or to obey our father and our mother so that what? So that our days may be longer from the land which the Lord our God gives us. So he gave us the Ten Commandments as we were going into the land of Israel. And when you read through the Bible, it shows you what our father and mother were supposed to be teaching us and what we were supposed to be honoring by them. Okay? As a matter of fact, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Just to kind of get a little bit more edification from that.
Deuteronomy 12?
Yeah, 12, chapter 12, verse 28. Because let's see, we'll get a little bit more edification about how we were supposed to honor our father and our mother and what the things we were supposed to be taught from our parents.
Okay. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
"Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God."
Right. So according to the Bible, the Heavenly Father, and mind you, this has not changed now that we're in, you know, 2011, whatever. Mm-hmm. He said when we were coming out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery and hard bondage, and he was bringing us into our own land, and he gave us those Ten Commandments, and he gave us his laws, his statutes, and the things that we were supposed to live by and showed us how to obey him. Mm-hmm. This is the instruction and the charge that were given to the father and the mother. He said, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. And we already see the result of what happened. You know, we're living those results out now as far as proof positive that we didn't observe and hear the words of the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why? When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. So, to bring it up to speed, the Heavenly Father gave us his law, statutes, and commandments, and told us how to worship and honor him, gave the father and the mother, because we're dealing specifically with the mother in so-called Mother's Day. You know, it's a pagan holiday, but that's, you can research that on your own. Okay, and we may actually have a couple of other shows that go more so into that topic as far as its pagan roots. But the Lord showed us in the scriptures of the charge that he gave the parents on how they were supposed to instruct the children. And the children, in turn, by honoring their father and their mother, were supposed to follow that because those instructions and those commandments were coming down from the Heavenly Father himself. And now in these days and times, that example is set through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those instructions haven't changed. The understanding hasn't changed. The understanding has gone deeper because now Christ has left us a perfect example on how we're supposed to deal and how we're supposed to honor our mothers. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to get a little bit more edification on that.
All right.
And I want to read verses chapter 6, verses 2 and 3.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
So it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We read about that promise in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. We read about that promise in Exodus, the 20th chapter, because the promise was that it would go well with us, and we would live long upon the earth. Why? Because our fathers and mothers would be instilling us the fear and the commandments of the Heavenly Father, and we would be blessed in those things. But obviously that didn't happen. And you see our people not living long upon the earth. You see things not going well with our people. And when you look at, you know, the status and the state of the so-called black families and Hispanic families, Mother's Day basically becomes one day that everybody wants to spend all of this money and share their so-called mothers with gifts. But then the following day, sometimes the same day, they're cussing their mama out, calling their mama the B word and this, that, and the other, and just basically what would be considered blasphemy, according
mm-hmm.
to Jesus. And that's not a new thing. That has always been happening. And the leaders of our people, believe it or not, were always the ones that endorsed it. They said, what you mean? Okay. I want to go to Matthew 15 and 2, because I made a statement. I said the leaders of our people were always the ones endorsing it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 2, because when the leaders of our people can stand up and teach our people to honor these idolatrous holidays, when they can stand up and teach our people about, well, you know, you can do what you want to do, and, you know, that Bible is, you know, that was old stuff. You know, you got to come into the new world. When they teach our kids things like, you know, you have to go out and experience things and experience different people and then come back, you know, and then you can settle down with someone. That's not the charge that the Lord gave to the fathers and mothers to teach the children. That's a tradition of man. Let's read Matthew 15 and 2, brother.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?
Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. You had the scribes and the Pharisees, which were the leaders of that time. They were trying to pick a bone with Christ about a tradition that they set up. And he's like, okay, so why did our disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So now, granted, just to give you a little bit of background, you know, you had the Levitical priests who had those rituals, I don't want to call them rituals, who had those customs where, and commandments, some of them were commandments where they had to wash before they went into the temple. But then man, okay, they wanted to take it a step further, and now they wanted to wash this.
and watched that, and they came up with that. Basically, what they did is they added to the commandments of the Heavenly Father. So now they're looking at Christ like he's breaking some law because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate their food. So now Christ asked them a question. He said, why did he also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So let's see what tradition our Lord is talking about. Read verse 4.
Okay, so that's Matthew chapter 15, verse 4.
Yep.
For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death.
Right.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
Yep. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions.
So the Lord cut them, man. He said, listen, but God said, let me jump back, because I lost my place here. Verse 4, he says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. And how many times do you see these children out here cursing their father and mother, literally? All the time. You see it on the TV, you hear it about on the radio, all of those things. And you ain't even got to go that far. A lot of us can just look out our front door.
Mm-hmm.
And a great deal of us can look in our own households. But the Lord says, he that curses father or mother, let him die to death, showing you that the Heavenly Father takes that very seriously. That chain of command that the Lord set up, as far as the Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the father, the mother, and the children, the Lord is very serious about that. And he's also serious about that charge that he gave the father and the mother to enforce his commandments in their households. But, that's not happening. And I always have to put this disclaim out every time we read the scriptures, because by reading this is not saying, okay, parents, if your children don't listen, go out and put them to death. No, because you will go to jail. They will call that murder in these days and times.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the parents don't have to physically lay hands on their children and put them to death, because by not teaching the commandments, now you see the result of our kids killing each other, acting a fool out in the streets. You had, General Larry Pratt making a song about the pants on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about our people. Our people are filling up the jailhouses. Our people are filling up the slums and the ghettos. Our people are dying to death, our children. Why? Because our mothers and fathers didn't teach the commandments. That's where the honor was coming from. But what is the tradition? Because we're still dealing with the leaders of our people. He says, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Showing you that they're looking at the kids. The kids are like just bucking up against the parents, like, listen, I'm a blessing to you. You should be proud to have me as your child. I'm the gift. You should be proud. Why I got to listen to you? And the leaders uphold this stuff. He says, what? In honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free, meaning that those children, by the traditions that are set by those elders, and even now, when you look at how our kids are dressing and how they carry themselves, those are the things that are upheld. And the so-called moral compass that we're supposed to have is completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no accountability. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no establishment of his commandments. By them setting that tradition, the children are made free. I mean, you don't have to worry about the destruction of the Heavenly Father. You don't have to worry about the punishments for the breaking of his commandments. You're the gift to your parents. And he said, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Read the next three verses, brother.
All right. And it reads, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Yeah, and what are some of the doctrines and the commandments of men that they're teaching, Mother's Day?
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand. Mother's Day is a doctrine and commandment of man. That's why those who do not partake of it are seen as wicked and evil. Hey, what you getting your mom for Mother's Day? I don't celebrate Mother's Day, but you shouldn't do that. That's your mama. She brought you into this world, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's utter hypocrisy, because that's considering that these same people dishonor their upbringing every day by breaking the commandments of the Most High. Every single day. And then those who keep it claim that they're honoring their parents, but in truth, they're only breaking the laws of the Most High by partaking in a pagan festival. And secondly, the fifth commandment was meant for every day, not to be observed at our own whim, not to be reduced to a day where you go out and spend a couple of $100 on your mama that you were just calling a B and everything else detestable under the sun the day before. Just disrespecting the parents. Oh, it's Mother's Day. Oh, we got to get something for mama. And all that fake love, man, that's hypocritical, man. We can't do that. We have to repent of those things. We have to repent. As a matter of fact, let's go to, let's stay in Matthew and go to chapter 23 and verse 27.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
The Lord, chapter 23, verses 27 and 28.
In Matthew's?
Yep. The book of Matthew, 23. Chapter 23. Yep, verse 27 and read, read 27 to 28.
Okay. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited, what's that, sepulchres?
Yep.
Sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Go ahead.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Right, because when you read that scripture, that sepulcher is basically was a grave, okay? Almost like when you see in a cemetery, like a, I don't want to say like a shrine, but you know how sometimes you see the raised, like, things or whatever. A perfect example would almost be like the Martin Luther King tomb that's surrounded by the water and everything. So he said that, woe meaning destruction unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, meaning you have this beautiful so-called monumental grave where somebody's dead bones are lying, a dead body. And that's why he said, which indeed appear beautiful and outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. And in verse 28, he says, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And that hasn't changed. Those things haven't changed because we'll call our mothers, disrespect them. We will dishonor our parents 364 days of the week. But then here comes Mother's Day. Oh, well, you know it's Mama's Day, so you got to get Mama something. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, just get her a card. We might take her out to dinner. Get some roses.
Mm-hmm.
But within, we don't give a damn about our mothers. But then we're still cursing our mothers out. But we don't buy flowers on Mother's Day.
So what's the honor in that?
That's the thing. That's why the Lord said it's hypocrisy. There ain't no honor.
Mm-hmm.
There is no honor in that. But you can't tell our people that. Only you tell them that Mother's Day is, you know, has pagan roots or whatever, why we shouldn't celebrate it now. You've seen it as the demon from hell. And you don't love your mother just because. Now, mind you, you may deal with your mother according to the scriptures, but just because you don't celebrate and observe Mother's Day, now you're seen as wicked and evil. But wait a minute. The things that my mother told me that were according to the commandments of the Bible, I observed those things. And, you know, being older, I understand that some of those things that she was teaching me that were in line with the Bible, now I understand why they were teaching me those things. Like the scripture said, that it may go well with thee and thy children. Because people don't understand those instructions from the Lord that were given to the parents that were supposed to be taught to the children are those things that help you make good decisions in life. Those are things that keep you from winding up pregnant at 16. Those are the things that keep you from winding up in jail and charged with murder at 15, 16, being charged as an adult while you're still a juvenile. Those are the righteous instructions that are supposed to come down. But, you know, you look at us now, that's not necessarily the case. You know, our parents will teach us, you know, you're supposed to go out and experience life. Mm-hmm. Our parents would teach us, go out and sow your wild oats. Or the the so-called example, when you go off to college, you know, go off and experience things, but don't bring no babies home. Don't bring back no diseases. You left here with one person, don't come back with two.
Mm-hmm.
It's hypocrisy. And unfortunately, you know, our parents did the best that they could with what they had, which is why as we get older and become adults, we're supposed to seek the Lord and understand the Lord for ourselves and be that example. But I want to go a little bit further into it. Let's see what the mothers in the Bible were honored for. Because when you look at it, the mothers in the Bible were honored for being virtuous and for no other reason. And when you look at, like, when you read Proverbs, I think it's like the 30th chapter about the virtuous woman, about how she ran the household and how she ordered the slaves and how she considered a piece of land and purchased it and things of that nature. Because people don't understand, being a mother does not mean that you're in a house in the daggone kitchen barefoot and pregnant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's another condition of man. Oh, you follow that Bible, oh, you're going to be knocking up with a whole about 12 babies. You ain't going to never have no career. Let's see what the women in the, or the mothers in the Bible were honored for. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
Yep, and I want to read verses 3 through 5. He's going to read the whole thing straight through.
You said 2 Timothy?
Yep. Let me make sure it's the right one.
Yeah, say it again.
Yeah, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and...
Oh, chapter 3, okay.
Yeah, it might have been in 2.
Read 2 Timothy chapter 3.
I'm sorry, brother, 2 Timothy 1 and 3. I got the number switched around.
So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
All right, and it reads, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day. This is the scripture you wanted? Okay.
Yep, that's it. Read 4 and 5.
Okay. Greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, was dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Yeah. So now this is a letter that Paul's writing to Timothy. Okay. And he says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And why did he have remembrance of Timothy in his prayers night and day? Because he had brought Timothy up and raised him up in the spirit and taught him the understanding of Christ and had also ordained Timothy as a bishop over a church. So Paul mm-hmm. knew of the things that Timothy was going to have to deal with being a bishop over a church and having to help guide people in righteousness and through the example of Jesus Christ. And that by him being stationed there, that basically he wasn't going to be able to, you know, be with them all the time. Because Paul was, you know, he was an evangelist. He traveled. Because in verse 4, he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So let's find out what the joy that is that he was talking about. In verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned means not fake. So that means it was sincere. It was true. He said, that true faith that is in thee, but where did it come from? When you read the rest of verse 5, it says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So it's going to show you how those women or why those women were honored, because they were enforcing the commandments of the Heavenly Father. It started with the grandmother. It went down to his mother. And now he says because of the example of those women, that how they brought him up. And then also now, mind you, he had to, you know, exercise those works as well. Because you read through the scriptures, you'll have, you know, parents that kept the commandments and children were wicked as hell. What was that, oh, man, what was that priest in Judges who had the sons that were with the women and stuff?
Sorry,
it'll come to me in a second.
Yeah, come to me too.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you have examples in the scriptures of people that weren't keeping that were keeping the commandments, but they had wicked children.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case here with Timothy. So when he said, listen, when I see the example and the faith that your grandmother had and the works that your mother has, then after seeing the example and the trend that you were setting, or the works that you have, or the pattern of works that you had exhibited, I am persuaded that in thee also. So that means that what? He has hope, because not only does he come from a good stock, but you see the examples of those mothers, okay, that he had and he followed. That's how the women in the scriptures were honored. It wasn't about the flowers and the candy and the roses and the taking them out to eat. Listen, if somebody wants to do that, because don't get it twisted, if someone wants to do those things for their mother, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing.
I want to tell you, it was Eli. I think it was Priest Eli.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and it was actually in the book of Samuel. It wasn't the book of Judges.
Yeah, Samuel.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just going to show that, you know, this world is just upside down and twisted. And, you know, it's just crazy, man. So we're going to take a moment to, you know, make a few announcements. And when we get back, we're going to deal with a few different examples. And, you know, just keep going through the scriptures and get some edification. So y'all hold tight, or we'll be back.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to listen to our program, Repentance is the Key, where we examine repentance according to the Holy Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The show airs every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So remember the words written in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Jah gave Moses 10 commandments upon 2 tablets of stone. Led Israel out of Egypt and then promised them a home. Samson slew the Philistines with a donkey jawbone. And David slew Goliath.
If you've enjoyed today's program and you live in the Atlanta area, we invite you to view our public access television program. For Fulton County, please tune into Body of Christ on People TV, Channel 24, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m., while for DeKalb County, on Comcast Channel 25, every Monday at 2 p.m. And now back to today's show.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works that come through the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
All right, we're coming back from the break. And the topic of the show is, you know, in honor of that mother. And just looking at Mother's Day in general, and, you know, just seeing the hypocrisy in it, because it is based on a pagan holiday, like pagan practices. But more importantly, what we want to, you know, do is go into the scriptures and receive some edification out of the scriptures on how we're supposed to honor our mother and why mothers were honored. So, you know, we were looking at some things before the break about, you know, why the women in the scriptures were honored and the things that, you know, that the scripture said as far in regards to what we were supposed to be teaching our children and how that honor was supposed to be gained. But We can't give one side of the coin without looking at the other. So let's go to Lamentations, the fourth chapter, and see how wicked women are honored on so-called Mother's Day. Because, yes, there are examples of wicked women in the scriptures as well, but they were, what, still honored.
Lamentations 4.
Yep.
What verse?
Verses 3 through 5.
All right, Lamentations chapter 4, verse 3, you said?
Yep, chapter 4, verse 3.
All right, verse 3. Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to the young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness.
Stop like that.
Okay.
He says, even the sea monsters draw out their breast. They give suck to their young ones. So an animal will feed and nourish its young ones. But what about a lot of the so-called mothers of our people? He says, the daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. So he's giving an example of an animal that doesn't necessarily have that nurture and that care that you would see, or the same nurture and care that you would see that sea monster have. He says, the daughter of my people has become cruel. And you look at the cruelty that our mothers have towards our children, first and foremost, by not teaching them the commandments. Okay? Because that's supposed to be the foundation on which everything else is set. Or the mothers abusing the children. And we're not talking about spanking according to the scriptures. We're talking about Penny's mama on good times burning the girl up on her back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Telling her to go out there and use her body to get what she needs to get. That's cruel. That is the cruelness, and it's the breaking of the commandments that the Lord is talking about. Let's read verse 4.
Verse 4. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man break it unto them.
Go ahead.
They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills.
Exactly. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst, spiritually and literally.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are thirsting for this knowledge, and nobody's out there to teach it to them. They're supposed to come from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to come from the fathers, and what we're dealing here specifically is supposed to come from the mothers. Thirsting for this knowledge, thirsting for correction, thirsting for the commandments of the Heavenly Father. And the children are asking bread, it says, and no man breaketh it unto them. They're starving and they're dying in the streets. That's an example of a wicked woman.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the same people that are honored on Mother's Day, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, it says, they that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. And when you look at our people, that's exactly what it was. The delicacy and the scarlet, I mean, that royal apparel that we were supposed to have was the commandments of the Heavenly Father. When he brought us into that land of Israel, he gave us everything. But now you look at our people, they're desolate in the streets and they embrace dunghills. And y'all know what dung is. Another word for dung is to start with the letter S.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our people embrace. When you look at the things that our people embrace today, man, compared to what the Lord gave us, is a dung hill, a pile of crap.
Yeah.
Hey, I love my mama. I got her flowers on Mother's Day. I took her out to eat. And then you kick mama to the curb after the dinner's over.
And think you
got it.
Think you did something good.
Yeah. Like, that's honorable in the sight of the Lord. No, that's not. That's hypocrisy, and Christ already called it that. Let's go to Job chapter 39.
Job chapter 39. All right, Job chapter 39, what verse?
13.
Job chapter 39, verse 13. And it reads, Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich,
mm-hmm.
which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust.
Go
ahead. And forget it that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She
mm-hmm.
is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding.
So it's showing the example. This is why he said the cruel ostrich. Why? Because the ostrich will lay an egg in the earth and use dust to warm it rather than taking care for it. Like that sea monster that would draw out the breast to give suck into the young. And what? By them not having that attention and that care for that child, he says what? And forget it that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. Because the point is in verse 16, she is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. The same mama that will leave her kids in the house, well, mama, where are you going? Baby, I got to go to the club. I got to go get mine. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. I left food in the house for y'all. Why? Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted her understanding. Because wisdom would show her that she's supposed to be in the house taking care of those kids. She's supposed to be seeing after those children. That's the understanding. Why? Because there are a lot of predators and a lot of dangers out here. And a lot of people that would do a lot of harm to those kids.
Yeah, I want to add to it real quick.
Go ahead.
It's important. I know we can relate to it when we see, you know, these people out here today that are they're letting the TV raise their kids. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're neglecting them and giving them, like, you got a lot of young women out here that are having babies. This has been going on for many years. And what they do is they're babies themselves, and they're trying to raise babies. So what they do is they either give them to the grandmother, which is their mother, to help raise them, or they'll constantly always find babysitters and whomever just to drop them off. Kids that are barely old enough themselves to even watch them, you know what I mean? So they're really neglecting them. So the scriptures that are being brought out now are showing them that they're cruel, you know what I mean, that they don't really have a real good understanding, because the Most High said, what, deprive them of knowledge, because these people out here are rejecting the word of the Most High, and they don't even have the proper instructions to raise them properly to come up out of the destruction that we're in right now.
Exactly, because the thing is that, again, it goes back to we've all made bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that wasn't a mistake. That was a bad decision. Okay. And a lot of those decisions that we make as, you know, teenagers that cause us to find ourselves in these particular situations have lifelong, you know, repercussions. And children, you know, teenagers having babies is just one of those many things. You know, we didn't even go into the whole thing about stealing or anything like that, committing murder or selling drugs, none of those things. You're going to carry that rap sheet with you for the rest of your life. So the thing is that, because Jesus Christ came into the world and showed us how we're supposed to walk. Okay, yeah, you know what? You made some bad choices coming up. You know what? You didn't have the information or the guidance and that understanding to be able to be guided in the right direction to avoid those things. Granted, all right. But now, like you said, the word of the Heavenly Father is coming to you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I want to say some more. I want to say some more real quick, brother, because it's really important, because I see it all the time, and I deal with it even in my family, you know what I mean? So in our friends and things like that, people you grew up with. Because a lot of times the children gets older, all right, and what happens is you've been neglecting them for many years. You ain't really teach them anything. And not to really, you know, talk bad about those that lack understanding, but this is why we teach the Word of God, so they can repent and learn understanding and learn how to become a better mother now. You know what I'm saying? Because we went through the same cycle where we didn't know how to be good fathers. I can speak for myself. I didn't know how to be a good father until the Most High taught me, and I'm still learning now to be a better father. So I'm not sitting here thinking I'm better than those out there. But now where I was trying to go with it is that as a child gets older, a lot of times they use their mother or father as an excuse to continue doing wickedness because, well, my mother and father wasn't there for me. You know what I mean? They didn't teach me anything, and they always run with that excuse, and they become more wicked than their parents. And what happens is they don't realize just because your mother may have been wicked or may have lack of knowledge, it doesn't mean that it's over for you. There are still other mothers according to the scriptures. That's why, if you don't mind, I want to go to a couple of scriptures to show the people that just because your biological, you know, mother or father, whatever, you know what I'm saying, that is your true mother, isn't really a mother to you. There are women in the church that adopt you as a mother, that is there for you and give you advice just like a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what's so important. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse, I forgot what verse it is, but Matthew chapter 12 real quick,
okay.
If you don't mind. And let's start at, I think it's verse 46 or something like that. Yeah, verse 40, start at 46.
Okay, Matthew 12 and 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him.
Uh-huh.
Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee.
Mm-hmm.
But he answered and said unto them, he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren?
Yeah, stop there for 1 minute. So now Christ's mother and brother is looking for him, and now he's talking to the audience. He's talking to those that's, you know, the disciples that's telling him this, and he's telling them what? Who is my mother and who is my brethren? He's asking them a question. Read on.
Okay. Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Now check that out. So it goes to show you that you do have a bond, you know what I mean, with the children of God. Yeah, your mother, because the scriptures talk about you can't love your mother more than him. You can't love your brother, your sister, your husband, even yourself more than Christ. But when you get adopted into the scriptures and understand that once you learn repentance and what it is, there are going to be people in the church, just like he just said. He got his hands in front of him and he's looking at the crowd saying, these are my mothers. These are my brothers right here. They're my sisters. Because that's the relationship we have with one another. That saying, that real, genuine love. They always say there's blood thicker than water. This is the saying that they say out in the world. But let me tell you, there are many scriptures that prove that we are all blood. Don't get it twisted, because we're from the children of Israel. But just because your mother is your mother, and there's another woman in the church that is righteous and trying to teach you and mother you in these scriptures, she is your mother. This is what Christ is saying. Because
mm-hmm.
she's doing the will of the scriptures. Okay? Just like a brother, when you see the scriptures, there's many scriptures on a brother, you know, that in the scriptures is thicker. Matter of fact, I want to go to that scripture real quick in Proverbs.
All right.
To prove my point, where I'm going with this. Go to Proverbs chapter 18 real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to go right back to Matthew.
All right, I got it. I'm still holding it.
Okay, Proverbs 18 and verse 24.
All right. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Now, check that out. So we just finished talking about, you know, a brother, a sister, and a mother. But now you can introduce in the scriptures to a friend in the scriptures. You see what I'm saying? He's even closer than you than your true brother. That's from your mother and father. Why is that? That's the question you got to ask yourself. Why is that? Why? Because this brother, this friend of yours, has a relationship with God. And guess what? He loves you more than your brother does. Because he's going to give you advice to teach you repentance, to get closer to the Father and have everlasting life. He cares about your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of our brothers, our so-called brothers and cousins and family members, they don't give a darn about our well-being. So this is all about. I want to hurry up and go to Matthew's real quick, go back to Matthew's.
Take your time, brother.
Huh?
I said take your time.
Okay, let's go back to Matthew's and read, actually, no. Let's go to Timothy real quick.
Okay.
Let me get Titus. Titus, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Titus 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you said that, because you have women that will stand up and deal with, you know, and be that mother to someone, but who deserve that honor from the Lord, and then you got those women who would put none of those things. In fact, they do the exact opposite and receive praises. That's the blasphemy and the hypocrisy that the scriptures are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the blasphemy it's talking about. All right, so I'm in Titus.
Start at verse 1. Chapter 2, start at verse 1.
All right. Titus 2 and 1. But speak thou those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men become sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things.
Stop there for a minute. So when you read verse 1, is this letting you know, I'm going to read it again, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So the things that we speak like we're speaking now, we're getting this understanding, the wisdom and knowledge and understanding from the Bible. This is where we get it from. So when you start applying to your life, you become wise. Why? Not because you made it up. It's because the Holy Spirit fell upon you and is guiding you and teaching you how to instruct yourself. So verse 2 says that the aged men be sober. So these aged men are talking about the men of God that are well versed in the scriptures and have that balance of understanding, and they're going to father the younger men that's out there. They're going to teach them. That's the first of all. They got to become that. To become that aged man, you got to have that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding. Okay, and have the understanding and been in this for a while to really understand, you know, the devil, you know, really understand his tricks and understand how to put on the armor of God and fight it off. You got to have that first and foremost. Now, the women got to have the same thing. Verse 3 says, aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things. So you know that these aged women, they don't tell lies, they don't instigate, they're not drunkards, they don't
that's
teach bad things.
Huh? That's the word instigate, you're stirring up stuff.
Mm-hmm. They don't teach bad things. You got a lot of women out here that I know women out here when I was out in the world. You got some women out here boosting. And people don't know what boosting is. They run into stores and they're stealing things.
Call it shoplifting.
Shoplifting, there you go. And then they go out and they sell hot things, and that's how they make their money. And then they bring their children along and teach them these bad things.
Uh-huh.
There's some mothers out there that do this. They're recruiting their children into this madness. Huh?
And receive honor for that as well.
Mm-hmm. But an aged woman in Christ is going to be the opposite of that. Now read verse 4.
Yeah, and if she's doing those things, she's going to repent of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, verse 4. That they may teach. Can I read that part again, brother?
Yeah.
That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
Keep going.
To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
So these younger women that's out here that never really had a real mother, and then now you come into the scriptures and understanding there's women in the body of Christ that can help you and give you advice to become a better woman. Because why? They have experience. They have experience. They've been there. They've done that. They understand the fight that you're fighting. But the thing is, now they're teaching you, because that's what a mother's supposed to do, nourish you. She's going to take her time, be patient, and teach you. So when you have something like that in the church, that is your mother. That's why Christ said, who is your mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? You know, those that do the will of God, because they're doing the will of God, you can trust them. You can trust their opinion in the scriptures.
Because it ain't their opinion, it's the will of the Most High and His understanding that they're reciting to you.
Exactly.
That's guidance. The point that people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand, oh, well, that's what you think. No, this is chapter, verse, this is the wisdom of the scriptures. But they don't want to see it that way. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. So the most part is, like, the important part, there's so many important parts, but, you know, and when the aged woman is going to teach a younger woman how to be a great wife and how to be a great mother, how to deal with situations. This is a lady that cares about you. You know what I'm saying? So you can really, you'll feel like, yo, I love you like a mother. You know what I mean? You'll feel that genuine love. So a lot of people ain't got to worry about their mother, their brother, their father, whatever, because if they don't come into this doctrine, you have them parents, and you have that brotherly love, you have that sister that you never had, you have all that. It's all about us trying to save our lives, man, save our souls. And anyone that's willing to come and worship Christ, you know, worship God through Christ and understand these scriptures, then you're more than welcome to be part of this family. And this is what it's all about, uniting in that family, in the body of Christ, so we can all have everlasting life, you know? And it's just so important, man. But go ahead.
You know what? I'm glad you went to Titus, because I want to focus a little bit on verse 5, where it says, and I really want to focus on that part where it says, the keeper's at home,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and the discreet and the chaste and all of that. I want to go to Proverbs. I'm going to read a few verses, because if you look at Proverbs chapter 31, I want to start at verse 10, and I'm going to jump around a little bit in that, because if you read verses 10 all the way to verse 30, it shows you the characteristics of that mother or that woman that's supposed to be honest. And you look at some of those aspects or some of those characteristics that this woman has, a lot of those same things, I mean, because people have being a mother is not an honorable thing in this world, except on Mother's Day. This woman, a woman to bring 10 different kids into the world by 9 different men, and, you know, it's like, oh, Mother's Day, oh, baby, I got a whole bunch of stuff on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Look at all my babies.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not honorable. And unfortunately, that's the dunghill that our people like to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Proverbs, the 31st chapter, and those attributes of that virtuous woman, a lot of those attributes, she's running a household like somebody's running a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't barefoot and pregnant in the house and just popping out babies. She
mm-hmm.
ain't just the old drone, a so-called submissive woman with no so-called opinion and has no say of what goes on in the house. Because people see that word obey their own husbands in Titus 2 and 5, and all hell breaks loose. Oh, no, I ain't having no man over me. Oh, and with no understanding. So let's read Proverbs 31, because we got a few minutes left.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 31.
Yep, 31. Right. Read verses, read 10 all the way straight through to 15. Let's read it straight through.
All right, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. And it reads, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband, go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
All right, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband do safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life.
Go ahead.
She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens.
Read verse 16.
Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard.
Mm-hmm. See, people don't believe that the Bible is true.
Mm-mm.
It says, first, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A ruby is a precious stone that's very valuable. So it's like, okay, I want a good wife. I want a good wife. Where's she at? I want a virtuous woman. Every man is out there looking for that virtuous woman, but they don't understand that you have to become that virtuous man in Christ first.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that. You have to become that virtuous man in Christ first for the Lord to give you that virtuous woman. That's why it said in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil, meaning that because those two are working together as a unit in the spirit of Christ,
mm-hmm.
now he doesn't have to go out and do anything illegal to bring money into the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just using that as an example, okay? I'm just using that purely as an example, but basically because those two are working, the husband can trust his wife. He ain't got to worry about her putting rat poison in his food or antifreeze in his drink and putting him to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she wants to see that household prosper, not tear it down and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
It says she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Maidens basically means those are the people that she is under. This is showing you these people had wealth, man. They weren't just poor and living in an old wood shack.
Mm-hmm.
They had servants. This woman was in a house. You read through, and I'm going to touch on a few of those in a second. When you read through, it talks about how she orders the servants. She was running that household like a business. She wasn't sitting in the kitchen barefoot and sweating over a dang stove all night.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things when you read the scriptures about the virtuous woman. Those are the things that's supposed to be honoring a woman or a mother for, that we're supposed to honor our mothers for. Not being out in the streets and selling their bodies and being in the strip club and dancing. Oh, I got to put myself through school. No, sorry. Those are the things that we learned in the world, and those are the things that we have to repent of.
Brother, let me jump to verse 26, man. Just let me read this real quick.
Go right ahead.
All right, verse 26. This is Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Look at that. Wow. Read 27-28.
Yep. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness.
She ain't sitting on her butt watching the soaps all day and eating bonbons. Read 28.
Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her.
There's your Mother's Day. There's the honor in your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Not bringing home no daggone flowers on just one day out of the week and going up in the church and, oh, we want to celebrate the mothers of the church. That's a tradition of man. That's an abomination in the sight of the Heavenly Father. And those are the things that we have to repent of. Because, granted, again, like you said, this is not to get on this show and say that we're better than anybody or, you know, that we're setting ourselves above anyone, because we all came through those things.
Mm-hmm.
We've all come through that understanding in the world of this is how you're supposed to show your mother honor. This is how you're supposed to listen to your parents. But when you start reading the scriptures and getting that understanding, even when your parents don't have that understanding, you, like the Lord said, become that light unto the world. That righteousness of the Heavenly Father that he's now using you as a vessel to show that example, that's what changes people. Those are the things that we're supposed to be honored in, that our mothers are supposed to be honored in, not the stuff that you see out in the world. And before we, because we got like about 3 minutes left, I want to go real quick to Luke 11:27, and I want to read verses 27-28, because, you know, people tried to set Mary, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's mother, above him. But let's read verses 27-28, Luke 11.
Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that beareth thee, and the patch which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
So that's the point. Did Christ disrespect his own mother by saying that? No, he didn't. But he basically came back and set the order that the Heavenly Father set from the very beginning. Yea, rather, so he didn't diss his mother. He didn't disrespect his mother by saying, oh, no, you just going the hell off. No, he said, yea, rather, because what she said was true. But yea, rather, meaning this holds more weight. What's more important is, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And that, my friends, is what repentance is all about. So we'd like to thank you for attending our show. And, y'all, you got any closing words, brother?
I'll just say, you know, we throw the prayers out to everyone out there that's listening, and, you know, also to ourselves, you know, as far as understanding how to honor our mother and how to understand what it is to teach those out there how to honor their mother. And, Lord, as well, you took heed to it and you repent.
All right. So we want to give all praise and thanks to the Heavenly Father and His Son Christ for the edification. And Lord will, we continue in that. So with that, I say shalom.
Shalom.
Next week for another installment of Repentance is the Key, airing every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit us on our website, www.theblcc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/theblcc1. Once again, that address is www.theblcc.com and www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
People, people, can you see and know?